In the opening of our parsha, we read first about the census that Hashem commanded Moshe to take of the Jewish people, and then of the great detail describing the accompanying organization of the camp, as each of the shevets, each of the tribes, were given their special place in the desert where they would travel as the camp of the people would move from place to place, organized with great specificity. The tribes had flags, the different quadrants, three tribes in each of the four directions had a representative flag. All of this is described to us in great detail in the first two prakim. Question that can be raised is, if this was so important, why wait until the second year after they had already left Egypt for all of this organization into the Shvatim, and the Shvatim into their sections, and their sections with their flags? Why not do this right away, immediately after they left Egypt? Why not do this in the first year after Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why do we wait, as the Torah tells us, till the second month of the second year after they had left Egypt? One could also ask, why Bechlal does each tribe even need their own flag? Why does anyone need a flag? And if anything, maybe one flag for the whole nation. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a short but incredibly important piece here at the outset of our parsha, in Emes LeYaakov, explains that the flags, on the one hand, are liable to create pirud levavos. There's great danger to each tribe having their own flag, because it could easily have led to divisiveness. After all, he points out, each flag was a different color. According to the Mefarshim, the colors corresponded to the stone of that particular shevet, as was worn on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which, in turn, the stone and the flag represented and highlighted the unique characteristics, focuses, and strength of that particular tribe. So each tribe, each shevet had their own stone, their own color, their own flag, because, in fact, each of the Shvatim had their own tchunot, their own characteristics, their own strengths, their own unique focus, and that was highlighted in these unique colors and in the unique flags. Well, if that's the case, says Rav Yaakov, by emblazing that color and that symbol on a flag, we can easily imagine, on a human level, that would make each of those tribes have tremendous pride in what made them special and made them unique. And if all 12 of the tribes had something else which gave them pride, and each one of them took pride in what made them unique, understandably, wouldn't that lead to a splintering of the nation? Said Rav Yaakov, yes, it might well have, could have, very easily. However, what saved the day and what prevented that was the fact that despite the each focusing on and celebrating and certainly being aware of what made them unique, they all shared a common focus. And that was the fact that all the tribes with all their flags surrounded something in the center. And that was the Mishkan. The Mishkan being in the center of all of them united all of the tribes and reminded them of their common calling. And that, what was united them, was far greater than what might divide or separate them. By having the Mishkan in the middle, it provided this unifying focus. Says Rav Yaakov, just like it would be absurd to think that the eyes and the ears, hands or feet of a person would somehow be in fighting with each other or divisive with each other because they have different purposes and different focuses. Obviously, that's not the case. So too, says Rav Yaakov, with the nation having one central focus, one heart in the middle beating and providing energy and life force to all of them, the various tribes, yes, with their uniquenesses, yes, with their unique destinies or particular strengths and talents, but nevertheless, they had something that united them. There was a common focus that reminded them that what was shared by them was far greater than what might be different. Rav Yaakov explains, in light of all this, so beautifully, now we can answer the questions we began with. This is why it was not until the building and the dedication of the Mishkan that they, only after that, did they set up the camp and give out the flags. The Mishkan, as we know, was only completed and dedicated in the first month of the second year. And therefore, it was only after that, in the next month, in the second month of the second year, that the people are told about the flags and organized in the various sections surrounding the Mishkan. And Echanami, says Rav Yaakov, if this had been done initially before there was a Mishkan, then it would be a problem. But once there was a Mishkan, which took place in the beginning of the second year, now their diversity could be a unified diversity towards that common higher purpose and shared calling. We can understand this, Lahavdil, when when we think of any sports team or a good functioning army, there are all sorts of different roles that have to be played. And if any two of the players or parts of the team or the army overlap, that's a redundancy which doesn't help at all. And if they each only focus on what they're good at and their job is, that'll lead to divisiveness, and without a common focus of being successful and winning, no doubt they will lose. But if they share the common focus, helping each other, because they each share the common focus of winning and all have the same ultimate goal, then the fact that they're different doesn't take away from that, but in fact enhances and makes their abilities much more strong, much stronger, much more effective. A number of years ago, in what turned out to be, I didn't know it at the time, but it turned out to be my last year in Baltimore, earlier in the year, we hosted for a special program both Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the son of Rav Yaakov, as well as one of my Rebbeim, Rav Mordechai Willig. And at that evening, as I introduced them, I mentioned this idea and the fact that Rabbi Willig is a big lover of this idea, devotee of the idea, quotes it often. And in fact, in one of Rabbi Willig's Sfarim, Am Mordechai on Shabbos, he quotes this very idea from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he uses it beautifully to explain the words of a very well-known and popular and beautiful Shabbos Zemer that we all know. Kol Mekadesh Shvi Karoi Lo, Kol Shomer Shabbos Kadosh Michal Lo. Right? The song says that whoever keeps Shabbos correctly without desecrating it, he receives a great reward, Scharo Harbe Miod Al Pi Paolo. Each person will receive a reward for what he does. And Rabbi Willig explains so beautifully that perhaps we could understand as follows. Karoilo means each person, each community has their own unique minhagim for how they celebrate Shabbos. They focus on different things. But that's only okay if it's Kol Shomer Shabbos Kados, as long as they have the common baseline of keeping the halacha. If that's the case, then Enchanami, Skaro Harbei.